Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And we are back again for the fifth edition of our Course of Course podcast. How are you doing, Stephanie?
I'm doing great. How about you? How was your week
this week? My week was fascinating, actually. I learned a lot about myself and how I was relating every day to kind of some work challenges I discussed in previous podcasts. We've had a bit of a reorganization in our company, and I'm part of that. So I'm kind of working through these changes. And it's been interesting, to say the least.
Can you say, are you being confronted by something that might be coming down the pike that you've heard about?
I am indeed. So there's been some conversation, and I'm sure listeners probably have gone through this or know somebody who's gone through this. When you work at a big company, there's always these conversations about possible layoffs. So I've been dealing with that and how I can use the course to kind of approach it and not be afraid of the possibility, but really embrace it. So that's been very helpful. I talked before about the Dude Where's My Jesus Fish book, the Mike Lemieux book. It's been extremely helpful. I've been using it probably in the past couple weeks. So listeners, I would strongly recommend that book. What it does is it takes the really good and really fascinating parts of Gary Renard's previous books.
The nuggets.
The nuggets, exactly, of Artin and Persa. And it puts them in a way where you can easily kind of find them instead of having to go through the books themselves. He really does a great synopsis of those. So I truly appreciate it, Mike Lemieux. Hopefully you will eventually hear these podcasts. I can't say enough about how much I appreciated your book.
Sounds like the Cliff Notes.
It is kind of the Cliff Notes. It's the Cliff Notes version of the Gary Renard trilogy. Just fantastic. Actually, I think he really talks about the first two books, not necessarily the third one. The third one just came out last year. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where I'm always forgetting. It's Love has forgotten no one. We'll have to double check that. This is what happens when you get a little older and you can't keep remembering. So, Stephanie, we were talking a little before about the cartoon books. This is the series from Alexander Marchand. And for this podcast today, you brought the actual hard copy or soft copy of the Alexander Marchand Life is But a Dream. The Universe is But a Dream.
I did because there was a particular piece of artwork in the back of the book where the map of time exists. And what I didn't remember until I looked at this again today was that there is definitely an ending and a beginning. And we all know that it's begun, but knowing that we can collapse time and get back to that beginning so that we can have an ending.
So that one confused me, actually. So when we first started reading about collapsing time, I was like, what does that mean? So in Gary Renard's book, he talked about, well, if you can get to the point where you have forgiven situations or people or whatever, then you don't need to experience something that may be in your future. It would actually collapse the time so you do not have to go down that road again. Is that your understanding of collapsing time?
It is. It is. I also am pondering something bigger, which has to do with the mind, and mostly, I guess, the wrong mind, the ego mind, since that's like 99.9% of everything, and getting back to that beginning point where it split. What I said the mind is a vessel. It's a symbol that's holding all the experiences over all of time that we are forgiving. So when the crazy people show up in my life and they are my brothers and sisters, and in that oneness, if I can somehow, I think what happened was, is last week's class, our podcast, we were talking about forgiveness. Yeah.
So last week's podcast, we were talking about what we are experiencing in our daily lives, right? But we also talked about what it was like having our mind be what we are seeing through. And it's really our mind that's controlling things. It's not our ego. It's not our...
So the mind is where it all is coming from. It's projecting from the mind, and we're just the splinters of that.
Right.
But to get back to the beginning, that's where the at-one-ment is.
Mm-hmm.
So to imagine all time and all experiences, you know, whether it's an alien experience in another planet or 20,000 years ago or a million years into the future, like all that stuff is just so vast and is so big. But through the forgiveness lessons, I think that's how we're collapsing the time so we don't have to go down that far. But also the Ascended Master thing and they're returning to heaven and that's our goal. If I am going to return to heaven, then I feel like everyone has to return to heaven.
Right.
Because we're all connected. It's all from one mind. It's from one point. And if that point is, if we're remembering and reconnecting with that point, then all of us should be going, not just some of us.
So you have more of a global view of this. So everybody together will eventually find God and go back to atonement, at one-ment with God. As individuals, which is our ego mind, basically saying that we're separate from others when in reality we're together with others, we can attain some sort of at-one-ment without everyone going with us. However, we all will end up at the finish line eventually. So Jesus was a really good example. This was a person who walked on the earth just like us, who was able to transcend a lot of this stuff and ascend back to God. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have just because we know about Jesus. So we're all kind of at our own pace, but it's only because our egos, our mind fragments, have convinced us that we're separate from each other.
Yeah, that we're separate from God.
And we're not. We're together.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I really appreciated learning about was the collapsing of time can be done simply by forgiving.
Yes.
But what screwed me up, I got to say, reading it, because we were so used to the spiritual buffet that we had learned, you know, for 20 years prior, that we had control over things. So we could just think right-minded thoughts. I'm just going to focus on what I really want instead of what I don't want. Those kind of contrivances that we have been led to believe actually work. And they could work on some level, but they're only really applicable to third dimension life. Mm-hmm. The reality is the only thing that matters is forgiving. And that messed me up for a while. It's still messing me up. Mm-hmm. Because I will have friends who will say, well, Janine, just focus on what you want and not what you don't want.
Mm.
And then you'll get it. It's like, is that really the case?
Mm.
Focusing on what I want instead of what I don't want.
Yeah, no.
Right. So it's like an ego thing. Like, if I just focus on it, then I feel like I can control it. Therefore, I'll get what I want and not what I don't want. But it's very hard, I think, because I've been trained for how many years to think that, oh, yes, if I just do these certain things, then it's all going to work out okay.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is it already worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're just watching a rerun, essentially. That still blows my mind. We are actually living a projection that was filmed already.
Well, that's why I'm puzzled still. Like, if Jesus has returned to God because he has that mind attunement and he's at one with everything, then that means even with us. And so I feel like we are all together back in heaven. And we are all back in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just a
screwed up dream right now.
Well, it does talk about, like cobwebs in the mind and just letting the ego spin you out. So maybe that's just what this is. But I was trying to find some stuff in the material, which I had found, which was talking about how, you know, your brothers, just that your brothers were all connected. And so if one of us is returning, then we're all returning.
One of the things that I have been trying to work through is when you're confronted on a daily basis with someone or others or whatever, that are not the friendliest to you, how do you get to that mind space where you recognize the fact that they are you? They are merely reflecting back on you, that we are all the same. But when somebody is, you know, behaving in a way that is not particularly advanced, how do you deal with it?
I don't know. I mean, they can have their own stuff going on. It doesn't necessarily have to be about me, I think, sometimes. But
how do you keep from reacting to it?
I think the love part, that we are all from that one strain of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's an example that we talked about a few podcasts ago. You had mentioned, I think his name was Donnie in the garden.
Yes.
And listeners, a couple podcasts ago, Stephanie had talked about being, she volunteered at a share garden, and there was a gentleman there who was behaving a little crazy. And you had said you felt a little worried about that, a little frightened with his behavior. How do you, like, for all the Donnies in the world, how do you approach that and say, okay, I'm going to approach this with love and then move on.
I think I have to look at how it came into my experience, which was I was looking at the dark side and what it would be like to be dead and missing the body and like the mind, the dark side of the mind is what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, what you get, what you think. I mean, I literally got that within 24 hours of that thought of what could be the worst thing I could experience so that I could work through it now with the help of the course rather than being without the body and maybe feeling like I'm drifting on the other side. And
so Donnie was like a lesson for you, a real life, real time lesson for you to say, okay, now I get it.
I also feel like he's a great example of the sickness of the mind, which is something I have seemed to have attracted a lot of people into my life that have mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
That's another sickness. That is a true sickness. It doesn't have to be cancer. Just that mental sickness of the ego hijacking people.
So what is it that you have attracted these people who have mental illness into your life? What do you think is the connection?
That's just the flavor from this lifetime.
So the mad idea was actually the impetus that kind of put that in your face and said, hey, you know, here's examples of this.
Well, I was trying to understand what sickness was because I thought of it as a physical ailment.
Mm-hmm.
When I get that it's also the mind and it's even my own mind driving me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, I see it in other people. I mean, growing up with an alcoholic father who was, you know, seemed like other energies were coming in and out of him and his personality changes, the bipolarness. And I don't know, there's something about this DNA that's brought those kinds of people into my life. Maybe because I have some kind of understanding of that kind of personality. It's just another expression of crazy that I really don't want to be around. I want peace.
Right. So WWJD, what would Jesus do? I always think like in a situation with Donnie at the garden, what would Jesus do in that situation?
Well, he is innocent. He doesn't know that he's out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that the crazy voices and things he's saying is just, again, I just think of it as the ego is hijacking him.
I mean, I just visualize Jesus seeing Donnie and walking over to him and like putting his hand on his shoulder and say, it's okay.
Jesus might have that kind of power. For me, I wanted to save my life, so right. I ran the other direction.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, there's just all kinds of examples of ways of being out there, and a lot of them are really sick.
Well, hopefully, slowly, we can all get to the point where we're able to say, all right, we're moving forward now.
Yeah, we're healing. I mean, that's part of what the course is all about, is healing.
One of the things I love about the course is also one of the things that I found the most challenging about the course, and that it's very clear-cut. It is this and nothing else. It is forgiveness and nothing else. Which is strange because there's a lot of books out there, a lot of New Age books. We get, you know, what are those email blasts from bookstores with these people who are coming in to give a talk on the runes or tarot cards and things like that. And I've gotten to the point where I just, not that I don't appreciate the work that they do, but it's like if the course is telling me that the only thing that matters is forgiveness, then maybe runes and tarot cards really aren't my thing anymore. They're not my bag.
They're just another symbol or form, you know, expression.
I started calling them toys. Like, it was just something to keep my attention diverted from the real work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because you go to these psychic fairs and you see a lot of that stuff. And I loved it. And I got to tell you, there's nothing better when you're in the beginning of like spiritual awakening to go to one of those fairs and see all this cool stuff there. It's like, oh, I want to get that. It's like you get into this big possession thing where you want to have the best stuff, the cool stuff. Give me as much Nag Champa.
Rocks.
Yeah.
I like rocks.
Incense and yeah, crystals and all this kind of stuff. It's like, it's just stuff. It's just stuff. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever read anything that Jesus said, yeah, you need to go get that malachite or whatever.
Right.
It's like, no, I don't. I mean, it's nice, but it's just stuff. It's just, it's, I guess, freeing for me because I've been around the spiritual accoutrement for so long to just be like, I don't need that anymore. I don't need a yin yang. I don't need any of that. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't mind jewelry like that, but it's not something that I have to seek out, and I don't need to purchase it and add more things. I mentioned this to you before, Stephanie, that I have a really good friend. Her name is Dawn, and she lives in Colorado, and she had told me that one of the things she's doing now is getting rid of five things every day. Five things every day, because she said people get so attached to things and possessions, and they become more important than who we are. So, you know, hats off to Dawn. I think it's great. I'm slowly trying to adopt that. It's like you get so addicted to stuff, it's hard for you to, like, break that addiction. But things are changing. I think the course has changed me in so many ways, and it continues to change me every day.
Yeah, I'm definitely present to that. I mean, the way I'm thinking about the world is a whole different way of thinking. It really is a mind control or a retraining program, and it is self-taught. So I like the freedom of that. I can go at my own pace.
I think the Gary Renard books maybe have mentioned this, that nobody's forcing you to do anything. Nobody's forcing you to do this. Nobody's forcing you to do, you know, the exercises every day. It's just, it's up to you. It's like you said, it's self-taught.
Yeah, well, the thing is if we want to ascend, or if we want to get to heaven, return to heaven, or at least collapse time a little bit so we don't have to suffer as much, then we have to will it. Mm-hmm. We have to want it. We have to do the work.
I think one of the bigger changes I've had with the course, and we said this before in podcasts, we've only really been doing this for a little over a year, is my approach and perception toward personal relationships. I think I'm becoming a lot more mature about them and not really expecting people to do certain things. We get caught in these relationships, especially romantic relationships, where it's like, why didn't you do that? If he was a good boyfriend or a good husband, he would behave a certain way. It's like, I no longer see things in that way anymore. And that's huge for me.
Yeah, I don't even think I need a relationship. Wanting comes up, and then you start making excuses like, oh, it's just going to be this other time, or this, you know, once a week or whatever, but it just ends up morphing, and then all of a sudden you're off the path.
Well, I kind of feel like it's a lot easier when you're with somebody that you feel like you can be honest about this stuff with.
Sure.
I mentioned this in an earlier podcast that this isn't something that I feel like I can just freely discuss. Not that I'm embarrassed or ashamed about the Course in Miracles. It's just people who don't understand it do not have the same opinion of it that I do. To me, it's everything. To me, it's my life now.
Well, it's definitely a point of view about the world that's not common.
Right. That's very true. I just think that my life is so much better now with the Course in Miracles in it, and it's hard to explain to people what that truly means unless they get it themselves.
Everybody's looking.
That's true. I mean, we said this before, that we weren't ready for it. We're just ready now. The time is now. Mm-hmm. And there are people in our lives that are just not going to be ready for it for a while, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But because we're kind of on this path, it'd just be so nice if we could be around more people that are like this. So listeners, please go to our
website.
Thank you. Our blog at thecourseofcourse.blogspot.com. Please let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you. Do you have any closing thoughts, Stephanie?
Well, I had highlighted this one thing in the course about the truth cannot be learned, but only recognized.
That's perfect.
I really like that.
The truth cannot be learned, but only recognized.
And it has to do with accepting.
Right.
And then there's a knowingness.
I think when we both started reading the course and really got it, we're like, yeah, we get it now. Not only do we get it, but we know that this is it for us.
But it still keeps coming in layers.
Yes.
Because even though we knew, or we had this idea of this all-encompassing mind of time all happening at once, it's still pretty big.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And it's such a pleasure to go through this journey with you.
Yes.
I don't know if I could have sustained it without you. So hopefully next week, listeners, we're going to talk a little more about my journey with my career. We'll see if anything has changed by then. And then you can talk about what's going on with your life and your ongoing gardening.
Yes. And delving into the depths of my mind.
Well, that should be an exciting journey. Thank you very much, listeners. It's been a pleasure. We'll be back with you next week for our sixth edition of the Course of Course podcast. Thank you, dreamers. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.